Welcome to this special audio program developed from a satellite CME symposium held at the 2019 American Society of Hematology Annual Meeting in Orlando, Florida. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I first met with Dr. Dan Pollier, who participated in our live symposium, to discuss some of the recent advances in the management of patients with AML that were discussed at the meeting, as well as new data presented subsequently at the ASH meeting. So let's talk about the issue of intensive therapy up front or not. And we had a case that we presented, you know, we had this panel of 30 AML investigators that we asked a bunch of questions to. And we presented a 68-year-old patient with AML, performance status 2, history of hypertension, coronary artery disease, and diabetes with normal organ function. It turns out that most of the faculty panel for this patient would use azacitidine venetoclax. Actually, four investigators would go ahead with 7+3. A couple others would use decitabine and venetoclax. How would you think through this scenario?
This is never a patient that I would offer induction chemotherapy to. Now, you know, I mean, I think the times have changed, and a couple years ago, that would have been a different answer in a different era, not so long ago. You know, when we really didn't have any other options, we would take a lot of risks with intensive induction chemotherapy. And, you know, it was that or essentially nothing. But I think, you know, the goalposts have moved significantly now. And I think we have to rethink the question of who is an intensive induction chemotherapy candidate, because we're no longer in an era where there's a one-size-fits-all treatment, or we try to make it one-size-fits-all. We have a lot of different options. So not only is this patient, in my view, in my strong view, not an intensive induction chemotherapy candidate, I think a lot of other patients who may have been candidates in the recent past will be moving over into, you know, even despite being fit technically for that therapy, into being treated with a less intensive therapy.
And, you know, another thing that's sort of come out as we've seen the evolution, particularly of venetoclax combinations, is the younger patient who's fit, but their AML is such that you expect a pretty poor result from something like 7+3. So, for example, we presented a 65-year-old patient with a complex karyotype and a TP53 mutation, and the most common answer chosen by our faculty panel, actually, for even this younger patient was a hypomethylating agent, venetoclax, mainly azacitidine. What about this kind of scenario?
I think this is a fascinating new era as well. I mean, I think we have to think about this very differently. You know, when we say fitness for induction chemotherapy, what we're really saying is how likely is it for the patient to not die with chemotherapy? But we're not giving any thought to how likely is it for their disease to actually respond. Amazingly, that's become an afterthought. And so I think, you know, you're seeing the reflection of, you know, with your poll results and what people are actually saying they would do is an acknowledgement of this fact that even if a person may not die with chemotherapy, the fact that their disease is so unlikely to respond to this intensive strategy, and this patient has all those features, the complex karyotype, et cetera, I think we need to think about this as, is there disease fitness for induction chemotherapy? And, you know, regardless of whether a patient may not die with this treatment, you know, is their disease sort of likely to respond? And so that's a big part of the consideration now, or should be.